From the passage that we read this as our scripture reading from Colossians chapter 3, there is a statement that's made there that I wanted to emphasize a little bit more. That actually comes from Colossians 3 verse 17. There needs to be a consistency between the things that we say and the things that we do. The old phrase that you can talk the talk, but can you walk the walk? People understand there, it's one thing to talk about something, but often it's something else to actually do it. So the thoughts and our actions have to be joined together. They need to be matching. When it doesn't, we usually refer to it as hypocrisy. Hypocrisy basically means putting on an act. In fact, it was the Greek word for an actor. Was somebody was a hypocrite. And in Matthew chapter 7, which is where we're going to start at. In Matthew chapter 7, and in verse 15, Jesus was talking about how to identify false teachers, people who don't teach the truth. And one of them, the ways he says to know that, he says, beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from bushes, thorn bushes, nor are figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then, you will know them by their fruits. You watch the results of what they do. That counts more than just the words that they say. Because we live in a world where a lot of people lie. And so we need to look at what they actually do. Along with that, in 1 John chapter 3, going towards the end of the New Testament, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, John tells us, whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth. It's not about just what we say, but also what we do. And going back to our scripture reading in Colossians chapter 3, and in verse 17, whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. Whatever doesn't leave out much. Everything that we do, the things that we say, the things we actually accomplish, all of them needs to be by the authority of Christ. There has to be consistency then between what we say and what we do. Now, we need to look at why the emphasis on words, because there is power in words. Back in Psalms chapter 33, Psalms chapter 33, and we're going to start at verse 6. The psalmist here tells us, by the word of God, the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Now, I don't know about you, but I can talk about things I would like to get done. But a lot of times they don't get done. God created this universe, according to the scriptures, by speaking. He said, this is what's going to happen in Genesis chapter 1. And then It happened. Not only did it happen, it stayed that way. It was fixed. Our salvation is also dependent on words. If you take a look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And in verse 16 it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That gospel message is God's power to save us from our sins. It teaches us what we need to know. It teaches us how to take advantage of what Christ did for us. It teaches us about what Christ did for us and the significance of it. And so our faith then is not just arbitrary. It's not just a proclamation. It's based on knowing what God has done. In Romans chapter 10, and in verse 17, it says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Our faith is based on what God taught us. It's what we accept to be true. And that's the way God chose to save mankind. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 21, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who would believe." I'm positive if you or I or anybody else came up with a way to save mankind, we wouldn't think about saying, "Oh, you're just going to have to believe a message." But that's what God did. God based it upon knowledge of a message of His Son dying for our sins. And it's through Jesus then we have the truth. In John chapter 1, John chapter 1 and verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." We have God's gift and God's truth through Jesus. And as Peter mentioned in John chapter 6, when Jesus had asked if he and the other disciples were going to leave, Peter said in John chapter 6 and verse 68, Simon Peter answered him, "Lord, whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." That's faith. To understand that this is where we gain life. This is where we're going to be able to live eternally. And so when we look at the early Christians, they went about teaching this message. In Acts chapter 26, Acts chapter 26, and in verse 25, actually I'm going to start with verse 24. While Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad." But Paul said, "I'm not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth." The things that Paul was teaching disturbed Festus so much he thought Paul had to be crazy. But they disturbed him not because they were words of a madman. It disturbed him because he realized that he was wrong. And there were things that he needed to do to change. Also in Acts chapter 18, again, talking about Paul, it says in Acts 18, verse 4, he says, "He was reasoning in the synagogue every Sabbath, trying to persuade Jews and Greeks." This is how the message is spread, through talking about it, reasoning with people. It's not, sometimes we approach things and say, well, faith is some vague idea or vague feeling. No, faith is based on reason. It has logic behind it. There's a foundation to it, from which we then say, this is what we believe. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and in verse 3, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. We are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God. And we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. The rest of the world thinks religion is spread through warfare. I was just talking with somebody last night who's a Muslim. And we got talking about some things. I said, you know, I really disagree with their religion. And he couldn't understand it. But the whole time through, he was talking about finding recruits for war. And Christianity is not spread that way. We talk with people. We reason with people. We might have debates with people, but that's our warfare. It's about the ideas. It's about the mind. You can't force someone into a faith. And so the words that we use, the things that we teach, those change the person. Take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequate, equipped for every good work. Everything that the Bible teaches changes the person's hearts. It changes a person's minds. And from that, then their behavior is changed as well. If you think about it, how is it that just words make such a difference? But words are the vehicles that carry our thoughts. What we think eventually comes out in what we say. Over in Psalms chapter 19, Psalms 19 and verse 14, the psalmist here said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The words that I say, the things that I think, those need to be acceptable to God. And the reason is because we're going to be judged by our words. In Matthew chapter 12, Matthew chapter 12, and in verse 33, Jesus says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. You brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of which it fills the heart. The good man out of his good treasure what is good, the evil man brings out from his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they shall give an accounting of it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. That's strong language. What I say is what God's going to judge me by. But that's because our words reflect who we are. It reflects what's inside you. The things that you choose to say reflects your heart. Even the idle words, which is what Jesus talked about, even the things that you say when you're not thinking about exactly what you want to say, We're not talking about just the times when you carefully craft exactly what you want somebody else to say here, but just the things that you casually speak about. God's going to judge you on those. They'll be weighed by God. Because even the idle words tell us about what a person's thinking. And in Mark chapter 7, Mark chapter 7 and verse 20, it says, he was saying that what proceeds out of the man is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man. Where does sin originate? Well, it starts with inside of us. But they proceed out of us. Out of our mouths, with the things that we say. And then out of our actions, the things that we do. Back in Proverbs chapter 18, Solomon tells us again that the words that we have, they're powerful. They change our lives. Proverbs 18 and verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Again, that's strong conclusions. All the way to death or life are in the power of the tongue. Our world's starting to get a hang of that. They've been talking about, you know, cutting down on bullying and things like that. An abusive language. But that's because words affect other people. You know, with our words, we can do a lot of good. Over in Proverbs chapter 12, and in verse 18. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 18, it says, the wicked earns... 12 and verse 18. There is one who speaks rashly like a thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. A wise person thinks about what he's saying. He doesn't use his words to cut other people down. He uses them to restore them, to make them better, to heal their souls. And as a result of it, they get joy themselves. In verse 20 of Proverbs 12, deceit is in the heart of those who devise evil, but the counselors of peace have joy. So my words can help heal another person's soul. My words can bring me joy as I see other people reacting to that. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and in verse 12, it says, words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of the fool consumes him. Gracious is basically saying it's a gift. The words from a wise person is a gift to other people, to help them become wise as well. And going back to Proverbs 27, and in verse 9, it says, oil and perfume make the heart glad, so a man's counsel is sweet to his friends. When we advise those who are friends of ours, we help them out, those words build other people up. And of course, not only can we make a person feel better, but most importantly, we can teach somebody how to be saved. We can bring the gospel message to other people as well. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 40, and with many other words, he, that's Peter, solemnly testified and kept on exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. He taught them the gospel message. We don't know all of what Peter said, but the point of his message was that we need to be saved. And people responded to that message. In fact, it says 3,000 people were saved that day as a result of that teaching. Going over to Titus chapter 2, Paul gives advice to the young preacher Titus. And in there he says in verse 7, Titus chapter 2 verse 7, in all things show yourself to be an example of good deeds, if with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will have no shame, or will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. We're protected by our speech. If we are careful about what we say, we keep it to what is right and good, it protects us from those who want to destroy us. But our words can also cause damage. Our words can stir up anger. In Proverbs chapter 15, and in verse 1, Proverbs 15 and verse 1, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. We can cause damage by our words as well. I want to talk about that more, but I'm running out of time. So I'm going to cause a pause here and finish this off this evening. And we'll not keep you so long. Do appreciate everyone's attendance here today. I want you to think about the words that you use, the things that you say, whether you're helping somebody or hindering them, whether you're building them up or tearing them down, and whether those words are consistent with the things that you do. So many people will claim to be a Christian and yet turn around and do the things that Christ says not to do. We need to be consistent in our words and our deeds to support what Christ says. You think about these things as they... We offer an opportunity right now that if there's anyone here who's not yet a child of God, there's no better time than right now to put on Christ. We offer that opportunity if you wish to do so. If there's is a member of the church and would like the prayers of your brother on behalf, again, we give you that chance. Why don't you come forward as we stand and sing the song that's selected.